All right, buckle up, because this deep dive is taking us into the world of AI. Specifically, we're looking at something called RBAG, that stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation, and its trusty sidekick, vector databases. Now, you sent in this fascinating report by Lovelace, who actually compares learning about this stuff to when we all had to wrap our heads around Oracle Spatial back in the day. Remember that? It was all about how databases could handle maps and 3D data making sense of all those complex relationships.
Yeah, what Lovelace is getting at is that vector databases do the same thing for AI. It's not about storing data anymore. It's about storing meaning and relationships, just like Oracle Spatial did for geographical data, but on a whole other level.
So instead of streets and buildings, we're talking about ideas and concepts.
Exactly. Think about it this way. How do you teach a computer to understand the nuances of human language? That's where vector databases come in.
Okay, let's unpack that. Lovelace mentions these things called vectors. What are they exactly, and how do they relate to language?
Okay, so imagine a vector, like a set of coordinates, but instead of just two or three dimensions, like on a map, picture hundreds, even thousands of dimensions, where each dimension represents some aspect of the data.
Okay, my brain is already doing backflips trying to picture 1,000 dimensions.
Don't worry, it's more about the concept than the visualization. The key is that each dimension captures a different element of meaning in the data. For example, one dimension might represent how positive or negative a word is, while another might capture how concrete or abstract the concept is.
So it's not just about individual words, but rather how they relate to each other in a larger web of meaning.
That's it, and this is where things get really interesting, because in order to be stored and analyzed in a vector database, text data first has to be converted into these multidimensional vectors through a process called encoding.
Encoding, like a secret code for AI. Tell me more.
Essentially, yes. This is where powerful language models like BERT, which you might have heard of, come into play. BERT is trained on a massive data set of text and code, allowing it to understand the nuances of language and represent words and sentences as these multidimensional vectors.
So BERT is like the translator helping the AI make sense of our human language.
Exactly. It analyzes the text, breaks it down, and converts it into a format that the AI can actually work with those all-important vectors we've been talking about.
Okay, so we've got our text transformed into these super detailed vectors, each one a sort of fingerprint for a piece of information. But how does the system actually keep track of it all? It feels like trying to organize a library with billions of books, and each book is in a language we don't understand.
That's a great analogy, and it gets to the heart of why vector databases are so revolutionary. They don't just store these vectors, they organize them in a way that allows for incredibly fast and accurate searches, even across those mind-boggling dimensions we talked
So,
about.
like a superpowered Dewey Decimal system for the AI world.
Exactly. It's all about indexing, just like a traditional database. But instead of indexing rows and columns, we're indexing these multidimensional vectors.
Lovelace mentions a few different ways to do this: KDD trees, HNSW graphs, things like that. It sounds pretty complex.
It can be. But the core idea is to make it easy to find the vectors that are closest to each other. Think about it like navigating a city. KD trees are like dividing the city into smaller and smaller grids. It works, but it can be slow if you have to search through a lot of grids.
So what's the faster way to get around?
Imagine a map with shortcuts, connections between different parts of the city that let you bypass the grid system altogether. That's the basic idea behind HNSW graphs. They create these shortcuts between vectors, making it much faster to find those close matches.
So it's like taking the express train instead of the local.
Exactly. You arrive at your destination much faster, especially when you're dealing with a massive amount of data. And then there are techniques like product quantization, which Lovelace dives into.
You one sounds interesting. What's the gist?
It's a bit like creating a shorthand for those vectors. Instead of storing every single detail, product quantization creates a code book of common patterns, allowing the system to store information more efficiently without sacrificing too much accuracy.
Okay, so we've got our vectors all neatly indexed and organized in our vector database, but how does the system actually answer a question? I mean, we've talked about how it stores information, but how does it retrieve it and then actually give us an answer we can understand?
That's where the real magic of retrieval augmented generation comes in. Remember how we talked about encoding text data into vectors using language models like BERT?
Yeah, turning our words into those multidimensional coordinates.
Well, the same process happens to your question. It also gets encoded into a vector using the same language model.
So my question becomes a vector that then goes on a search mission through the database.
Precisely. That question vector becomes the key. The system compares it to all the other vectors in the database, looking for the closest matches.
Kind of like finding the needles that are most magnetically drawn to our question magnet.
That's a great way to put it. The closer the match between vectors, the more relevant the information is considered to be. And because of those clever indexing techniques we talked about, this search happens incredibly fast, even across millions or even billions of vectors.
So it's like having a superpowered librarian who can instantly scan every book in the Library of Congress and pinpoint the exact passages that are relevant to your research question.
Exactly. And this is what sets vector databases apart. They allow AI systems to not only store vast amounts of information, but also to access and retrieve that information in a way that's both fast and intelligent.
All right, so we've got our question expertly translated into vector speak. It's on a high-speed chase through the vector database, thanks to some seriously smart indexing, and it's zeroing in on those closely related information needles, so to speak. What happens next? We found the right information, but how does this system go from a bunch of vectors back to an actual answer that makes sense to us humans?
This is where it all comes together, and the generation part of ARIC really shines.
Okay, remind me how generation fits into all of this. Right. We've done the retrieval part, right?
Exactly. We've retrieved the most relevant information from our vector database, but it's still in vector form. Now we need to generate a human-readable answer, and that's where those powerful language models come back into play.
So the same language models like BERT that we use for encoding are also involved in generating the final answer.
Not quite. While BERT is great at understanding and encoding language, for generating text, we often turn to other models like those from the GPT family.
Ah, GPT, like the technology behind chatbots and those AI writing tools. What's fascinating is how this report ties these different language models together.
Absolutely. Each one has its own strengths. Mm. BERT is like the meticulous librarian who understands how information is organized, while GPT is like the gifted storyteller who can weave that information into a compelling narrative.
So BERT finds the right information, and GPT turns it into a story we can understand. I like that analogy. But how does GPT actually use those vectors, those strings of numbers, to create something like a story?
It's all about context. Those vectors that we retrieved, they provide the crucial context for GPT to generate its response. Remember that example from Lovelace's report about Charlotte went to Paris to learn French?
Yeah, I was wondering when that was going to come back around.
It perfectly illustrates how this works. Yeah. Let's say you ask the system, why did Charlotte go to Paris?
Okay.
The system would not only retrieve the vector associated with that sentence about Charlotte, but also vectors representing information about immersive language learning, the benefits of studying abroad, and perhaps even facts about Paris being a hub for French language and culture.
So it's like the system is gathering all the relevant evidence from its vast knowledge base, guided by those vector connections.
Exactly. And it presents all of this evidence in vector form to GPT. Now, GPT, with its understanding of language and its ability to generate text, can take that context and weave it into a coherent and informative response.
So instead of just saying Charlotte went to Paris to learn French, it might say something like Charlotte chose to go to Paris to immerse herself in the language and culture, a decision supported by research that suggests immersive learning environments can accelerate language acquisition.
Exactly. And that's the power of RAG. It's not just about retrieving facts. It's about understanding the connections between those facts, the nuances of language, and ultimately generating responses that are both accurate and insightful.
It's like the difference between having a library card and having a personal tutor who can guide you to the right information and help you make sense of it.
What's fascinating is how this technology mirrors our own thought processes. When we're trying to answer a question, we don't just pull up isolated facts from our memories. We draw on a web of related information, experiences, and insights.
It makes you wonder just how much our brains are already working with something like vectors, even if we don't call them that.
It's a humbling and exciting thought. The more we learn about AI, the more we realize just how much there is to learn about ourselves.
Well said. This deep dive has definitely given us a lot to think about, from those multidimensional vectors to the power of language models like BERT and GPT. It seems like we're on the verge of a whole new era of information access and understanding thanks to these fascinating technologies. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the world of RAG and vector databases. Until next time, keep those curious minds engaged and keep exploring the fascinating world of AI.